Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers that are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in the politics around us, and in the spiritual world. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm joined speaking to you tonight from Ronan, Montana, and I am joined by my compatriot, Mark Wolfe. Mark?
Hello, Mark Wolfe.
Are you out
saying
there?
Hello from, yes, hello.
Yes.
Yes, calling in from New York.
Wonderful. And the internet's a little strange tonight. It took me a while to get on the radio, but we'll do our best and see if we can. We're normally joined by Ann Ortley, but she's had a death in the family and needs to tend to that. So our heart is with her family, even as we work on this work. And we are coming up to the full moon in Aquarius, probably one of the most social, outgoing, connected, good time to gather times of the year. Have you been feeling that, the Leo fervor, I mean, the good and the bad and the ugly and the wonderful of the Leo season, Mark?
Yeah, and, you know, with the full moon in Aquarius, and the sun in Leo, it is really a bright celebration sort of feeling. So it's a time to recognize who your people are and be with your people.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah. And today
yeah.
is
I mean,
also
all
Venus
people
point,
are our people,
the sun conjunct Venus. Right.
Yeah, all people
but,
are people.
But who's the tribe that gives you energy?
Yeah, the ones that really share your outlook on life and your experience. That's what I mean by your people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that to the people that give you energy, you know, the people
yeah,
that
exactly.
help
yeah.
you feel renewed, because part of Leo season, the job is to, in the summertime, to refill the wells so we're ready for the work of the winter. And today the Venus-Sun conjunction is, which was at 2:07 a.m. on the East Coast, really begins a new Venus cycle, a new time of heart and connection and emotions. Now, one of the difficulties with the Leo season is the tendency to, you know, melodrama and hyperbole. You know, the storylines, people tend, you know, it's great when people are telling stories because, like, oh, they can make it so interesting. Or if you're seeing performance art or you're in a spiritually rousing process, that you can just feel your heart swell with it. But the headlines, you know, where that people, instead of just being angry, they were angry and shot 30 people. And so we had the mass killings that were, you know, the drama, not just the melodrama, but the real drama of the Leo season, which feels like it has to do everything over the top. And sometimes it is the strange melodramas that if it was written in a play, no one would believe them, like the suicide or death murder of Jeffrey Epstein this week. And, you know, the controversy will go around and around and around. Did he kill himself or was he killed? And I don't think it will ever be settled. Though I saw that Alfie Lavoie did a wonderful he works with some very interesting statistical processes, and he has looked at 600 approximately charts of people who committed suicide and sent them through an algorithmical investigative program that looks for common denominators and tons of 500 some data points. And they can produce a pattern that can talk about a likelihood of suicide. And Epstein's chart had none of those. So to him, it just by the charts, it doesn't look like suicide. It certainly is convenient. But he did have Venus and Mars conjunct in Pisces. And, you know, it seems like the two suicide attempts were when new information was coming out and he knew he was toasted. So I'm not sure one way or the other, but I think it's going to be interesting. It just feels like one of those Leo stories that if it was in Shakespeare, no one would believe it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But actually, we're almost at the end of this. Mm-hmm.
It's very Shakespearean. You know,
yes. Very Shakespearean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our
and
season.
Mm-hmm. Now the Leo season's almost done, in that this weekend, I believe it's on Sunday, Mars goes into Virgo and then is followed soon after that by Venus, and then the Sun, and then Mercury follows at the end of the month. So by the time we get the first of the month, they're all lined up in Virgo. So we'll feel a real switch over this week from this kind of soaking up the summer sun and, you know, summer dramas and summer loves and into now it's time for us to get back to work. And it will be with that Virgo lineup, people think. Mm-hmm. And it can go from a Saturn turns direct also at the beginning of September. And so we'll go from having trouble getting anything done to it should have been done yesterday. So there's some real opportunities coming up as we head back to the work and kind of like kick in our critical thinking process again. But it's going to be interesting how that plays out. And on Monday, also, the moon heads into Aries. It's going to be in Pisces on Friday and Saturday. And the Pisces moon will tend to make us, you know, extra emotional and sweet and drifting. Mercury will be square Uranus on Saturday and give us, you know, we might want to be changing our minds about things or confused or wondering about what's going on or possibly get some shocking news, but it's going to look for, we won't really be able to see where it's going yet. And then on Monday, when that Mars goes into Virgo and the moon goes into Aries, and it just says, start planning, start getting to work. It's actually on Sunday that happens, and says Sunday, use that to begin to plan ahead and think about the future.
Yeah,
so that's
going to
be an
detail.
Interesting process. How do you?
You want to focus on the detail. So even when you make a plan, don't make it too much of a rough sketch, but try to fill in the details.
Right. Ground it. Make it so.
Yep.
Think about how it'll feel once you get it going. But don't even try that on Saturday, because the moon will be conjunct Neptune
Pisces,
and Pisces.
Yeah.
I would say that I want to come back to the Leo drama right now. The headlines do have that dramatic quality. Even in some of the ecological news, you just can't believe that these stories are as difficult as they are. Or a park around here, you know, Glacier National Park, on a road which everybody goes on and had 3 million visitors last year. And one family was driving on it right after a rainstorm this year. The air had cleared, but roughly a truckload of rocks came loose and fell on the family car and killed one of them.
Ooh.
It's again this sense of who wrote that script. It's a little over the top. And right. I really feel for the family who went through that. So have you noticed any particular moods that in your clients or in the streets? Have you noticed what's been going on?
Just kind of an overall sense of actually of lightness and kind of relief and just acceptance. So, you know, there's a sense of anger on one hand and also acceptance on the other. So people are at
That's
the same
beautiful.
Time riled up about something, but they're not shrugging it off, but they're looking for other solutions. So rather than stay with the anger, they're looking for solutions and having a sense that it's going to be something different, that things have to become different. That's the mood I'm thinking of.
That's lovely. And again, it's important that we not go on that there's a passivity, you know, with the sun as quiet. I know there's been a few sunspots, but it's still in a very quiet phase. We have the asteroid shower this week, I think the Leonides, and that seems to always bring in new material from other places and other just new ideas that come with us.
Yeah, have you seen that meteor shower?
Perseid meteor shower. It's been overcast at night. I'm really hoping tonight might give us a chance to see that.
Yeah.
And they said that the Perseid fireballs were really strong on the 12th and 13th.
Ah.
Which was powerful. There was interesting yesterday. Normally there's a sunspot and then you see an explosion with a coronal mass ejection, is what they call. But yesterday, a completely unexpected, the sun has been blank, not a sunspot in sight, and then we had what looked like an explosion from the sun, a coronal mass ejection. Which it's not heading our way, so it won't cause any, EMPs, any trouble with the electromagnetic pulses. But it does speak of, I'm hoping that the sun begins to get active, because people have been, you know, acceptance and looking for the better place is different from passivity. And I'm hoping that we move into acceptance and step away from passivity and really begin to make some changes. It's hard to do that. It's hard to get the public doing that. Make it working in a good direction solidly while the sun is quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So fingers crossed that this maybe begin to see a more active sun. We never know with the sun until it actually gets active.
Right.
Yeah. So we have one caller on the line. I'm going to give the number out for anybody else who wants to might want to call in. I want to get to that first caller. The call-in number is 347-215-8881. That's 347-215-8881. And hello, area code 405.
Hello.
You're on the air. How can I help you? Hi.
Hi, Heather.
How can
Hi, Mark.
You?
Can you all hear me clear?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Good evening. I'm trying to get some information and clarity surrounding my birth chart on my life purpose this time and relationships. Why do I attract these low life men? That's the best way I can put it. You know, they're or
okay,
mentally ill people. Okay,
right.
It's 4/4/1961.
Okay. April 4th, 1961. Time?
5:51 AM Memphis, Tennessee time.
And Memphis, Tennessee. Is that where you're born?
Yes.
You born in Memphis?
5:51 a.m.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a beautiful city. Okay. And you are an Aries with Mercury in Pisces. And an it. Hold on. I have to redo one thing. I have the wrong house system on because
okay.
I was doing something. There. Okay. 15-degree Aries rising. You were born at sunrise, just as the sun came up. So the sun is conjunct the first house,
mm-hmm.
Venus and Aries in the first house. But you have Neptune in Scorpio in the seventh house and a Scorpio moon. So, you know, for one thing, you like it intense. You're drawn to the bad boys. And, you know, you,
yeah, but I don't
you
want,
can see their
I don't
worth.
Want those kind
you,
of bads.
You can, right. You want to be careful how you want to rephrase that. Change what you're calling in. You're drawn to people who are intuitive and spiritual and magical. But if that's positive Neptune, you have Neptune in the house of partnership. But on a bad day, it means that people that are not honest with themselves or with you. And so the first cue is like looking at people. Are you know, and you're so competent, you tend to do things for people, which can go into enabling. For one thing, stop enabling people. Don't do their homework for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And look for people that have been down in the, have gone through the tough times, but come out on their own and are already out the other side. Like someone who's a rehab counselor. Or someone who, you know, did time and then came out and really turned their life around. You want to look for the people on the other side of that. Because you like them compassionate and interesting and exciting, and you don't want them to crowd you. But in the process, you tend to, you know, see their potential, but it's going to take them another couple hundred years to get there. Does that make sense? So you do wonderful
that makes
work
so
with
much
people.
Sense.
Are you a therapist? Are you a therapist, or are you?
No,
a,
I'm.
You know what kind of work do you do?
Basically, I've done
because,
some volunteer work, but right now I'm just looking
mm-hmm.
for work. But I don't want to find any kind of work. I want to find the right
okay.
work. Like, yeah.
Yep. See, you're good at helping people. You're good, and what I'd say is you don't want to do it in your relationships. You want to do it in your work. So instead of, you know, hooking up with people who need help, find how you can help the people and do it for a job and then leave it at work. Like, you know, whether they are people with special needs or at the hospital or kids that are coming out of a tough time, that you're really good with people who've had it rough. Really good.
Yeah. You'll
but we
find
don't
your
want
path.
You to do that in your love life. We just want you to do that at work. Go ahead, Mark.
Exactly. Yeah. You'll find your path by working with that kind of transformation experience. So the idea of working with people who are going through a real metamorphosis, you know, not just skin deep, but deeper. As you become involved with them in a helpful way, it'll work for you. And it is kind of funny what Heather's saying. Kind of, it makes sense to not get involved with the kind of people you should be helping. And instead look for the ones that have passed through and done the change. It's hard work. Hard work changing from being low life, reaching for a high life.
Yeah. Right,
so
you
want to identify
but you
people
know,
that have...
You,
they've already
yeah.
started to climb out of the grave, you know.
Right, because you can see the potential in everybody. And, you know, what you want is someone who's already making the change, who's already pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps and is being honest with themselves and self-responsible. If they're honest with themselves, if you hear them talk and they're not blaming other people for their problems, but are saying, I'm going to fix this, not like my mother, this guy, you know, the people, like I've had it bad. Like, yes, they've had it bad, but are they taking responsibility for themselves? And if they are, then you cuddle up. If they're not, then they're your job, not your love.
Right.
Okay?
Okay. Does that make sense?
Right. And remember,
you know how to do that. Though.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're strong and you're intuitive.
Yeah.
And you can get a lot done, and you have a lot of personal authority, so you can handle those people in ways that I don't think there was, you know. So.
Okay.
And you just know that your experience so far has helped you to now identify which people are on the road and which ones are lost and wandering around.
Okay.
And you ask, what's your purpose? I think there is something about being a big personality. You give people energy. And that your gift is to help people find a voice who don't have a voice normally, to fight for the underdog, to stand up for people that need someone that can see their point of view and that they needed help, to help people who were ready for help.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
and that you really fight for the good causes.
Right. Don't
and
don't
you like
spend
to fight, so
time.
Find a good cause.
Right, and find the people
okay.
who will respond. So don't spend time helping
mm-hmm.
people
okay.
who don't want to do any of the work. If they want you to do it all,
right, can't make them turn it
that's
around.
That's your first clue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got you. So you said all of that in my relationship wise was. The moon and Scorpio was in my seventh house. What's in my eighth house?
It's in your
the reason
eighth
why I'm asking, I'm confused because when I pulled up my chart, it's saying my moon and Neptune.
Moon and Neptune, yeah.
Are in the eighth. Your Neptune, I have Neptune in the seventh and moon in the eighth. And
okay,
so there's different house systems, but I see Neptune in the seventh and moon in the eighth. And the rule of your seventh house is Venus in Aries, retrograde. So we knew that there are three places that we look for relationship. For the first part of relationship is fifth house. That's when you fall in love with somebody. And the fifth house we have Uranus and Pluto, the two most difficult planets that say you go right for the difficult ones, right? And you can spot them a mile away and find them adorable. But that's, again, you know, that's fun when you're an adolescent, and then it gets kind of boring when you're ready to have more of a life. And then, you know, because I sympathize on that one, having loved my share of low life that I have supported in the past. So then, so you have then Neptune in the seventh house, strong, intuitive connection with the people that you love, but just that they may not be realistic and they may tend to play the victim. You have, you're heading into your, you know, so you've got Mercury in Pisces in the 12th house. You've always been the one that people come to and tell their stories to and share their soft stories with. You also have South Node in Pisces in the 11th house of community, of friends. It's helpful for you to be friends with someone first, but again, your friends kind of lean on you, and you take care of them. They don't always take care of you. And I'd love to see you in more two-way relationships. It looks like you were burning through a lot of karma with your friends in the first couple of decades of your life, and now you're getting ready for a really equal relationships. So our time is up. So I'm going to say good luck and goodbye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
you're welcome.
Everybody
thank
else.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you. Good
Thanks
luck.
Thanks for calling in.
Sure.
Okay, and thank you all for listening.
All right. Have a great night.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, tune in again next week.
And take care of yourselves, and enjoy summer to the fullest right now. And we begin to smell the hint of the work coming this fall next week.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Take care.
Good
night. Any last message? Anything? Any other comments you'd like to make for the week ahead, Mark?
No, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Great.
Get out there and
see you.
Do the Leo thing.
Right.
Okay.
Good night. See you next week.
Good night.
Bye.